Oh, oh, waiter, waiter, more.
Chicken lay. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, farming, and a lot of other really yummy things here on KRCB Radio 91. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio. Thank you for joining me this evening. Have you had a good start to the year? See, last week was what I always call my Christmas. It was Little Christmas, 12th night, Epiphany. So I was not here in the flesh, but I am now. And we've got some really fun things coming up in the first half of the year on Mouthful. They will be unfolding probably in February. We're going to be adding a few new features, so stay tuned for that. And I also want to tell you, should you be a fan of Mouthful or simply a fan of radio, we are looking for some volunteers to work with Mouthful. I'm looking for a co-producer. I'm looking for an archivist. Those two things for sure, and maybe a second co-producer as well. And if you are interested in doing this, I can tell you all about it. And all you need to do is send me an email. And you can do that at michelle@michelleannajordan.com. It will reach me easily. So it's a really fun thing. There's some nice little perks. You get to taste things. Sometimes you get to go on adventures. So if you, and you also learn a lot. You'll build contacts with the food and wine world, both locally and around the country. And you'll learn a lot about our local food shed, our local beverage shed, events that are going on, and all kinds of other interesting things. The show is now going in, has gone into its 25th year. We will have our 25th anniversary in November. Want to have a party for that? So get involved now and be part of the fun. Tonight, we have one guest new to Mouthful and one on a return visit. Eliza Dean of Dean Family Farm has just wrapped up her season at the Sebastopol Farmers Market. Welcome, Eliza.
Thank you, Michelle.
I'm so glad you could make it.
Thank you.
And then returning, I think it's been 3 years, 2 years or 3 years since she was here, it's Amanda Graziano of Spirit Works Customer Relations. And I know that you were here, and it was a drink you made in the studio. I think it was Bee's Knees.
Yes.
You made that. It was so good.
It was a good one.
You were serving it in the VIP lounge,
yes.
Artisan Lounge, it's called, at the Gravenstein Apple Fair.
Yeah.
So, and you are back. And you are back partly because I just like to talk to all of you at Spirit Works, but also because there's a class coming up on January 18th with Phaedra Aker.
Yes.
Of Monarch Bitters. She's been a guest on Mouthful in the past and will be a guest again. Her bitters are absolutely delicious. So let's start out by talking about where Spirit Works is and details about the class.
Yeah, so Spirit Works is located in the Barlow. That's a really fun kind of makers complex in Sebastopol. We're closer to the back behind Taylor Lane. Something nice about the Barlow, too, is it's filling up. So hopefully early spring, summer, we'll have a few more breweries and cider companies in there.
Oh, who's what cider is coming in?
Golden State, I think.
Oh, Golden State's coming in. Oh, interesting.
It's on their website, so fingers crossed.
Okay, cool.
We're always happy to have new neighbors, and we got a Fern Bar is new as well. So we have a new bar over
there, which is nice. Went by there, and they were closed.
Oh, were they? Oh, no.
It's Christmas night.
It's so good. You'll have to check back in. But yeah, Phaedra, we love her. We love selling Monarch, and she had done something similar with Griffo. And we get a lot of questions about bitters, just because mixology is becoming this really fun curious thing for people. And so we decided to have her host a class. Mm-hmm. So January 18th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. We'll be at the distillery doing some, you know, mixology and bitters making.
Oh, so you'll actually be making some bitters.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
So you're gonna make bitters that some you would get to take home and then kind of keep making those cocktails that you learned about in class.
Uh-huh, excellent.
So it's hands-on, and you get to leave with a little something as well.
What's the cost?
So it's $50, and that includes a cocktail lesson and a personalized cocktail, and then take-home bitters. We have all the supplies, everything you need. You just show up and make some drinks.
And then how do people sign up for the class?
So we have the easiest way to do it is the link is on our Instagram in that little bio section, and it's just Spirit Works Distillery. Calling the distillery is pretty easy because everything's through Eventbrite. So we usually post it on the newsletter, Facebook, Instagram. And if you can't find it, just calling us at the distillery, which is 707-634-4793. And we'd be happy to help you out with that.
Is that 634-4793?
That's it.
In area code 707. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, and we're excited.
I've been experimenting with bitters. And one of the things, as soon as I have a little bit of time, I want to work on doing some vinaigrettes with bitters. Yeah. I think that will give a really interesting dimension to some of the vinaigrettes I make.
Yeah, there's so many uses for them. I mean, they are like the salt and pepper of the bar, but now, especially if you have your resolutions and you're trying not to drink, I mean, even water, different food things you can do with it. So bitters are really fun in that way.
Yeah, and what they call mocktails.
Exactly. The mocktails are great too.
Absolutely. And so we'll come back and talk about Spirit Works in general, but I want to get Eliza into the conversation. You have an apple orchard, Dean Family
I do,
Farm.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
We have a 12-acre apple orchard with about 300 trees, different varieties, and we work. My husband and I work through the season with apple-specific varieties, making different products. And our main goal really is to have products that are sugar-free.
Mm-hmm. And when does the season, start for you with Gravensteins?
It starts with Gravensteins, okay. And then we go through right to the end of the season with Rhones. And we have a number of different varieties in between. And we make many different products from those, as well as freshly pressed apple juice. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple of years, we've started making a apple cider vinegar, which
it's
has
so
become
good.
Yeah, it's become really, really popular.
It's really good. I love your apple cider
and
vinegar.
Yeah, thank you. And we make that apple specific, so we have a very strong Gravenstein apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other varieties are less, so we kind of blend them, you know, with other apples to make it stronger. But that's been very popular in the last number of years. And then all our snacks are dried apples and apple leathers. And we also grow some fruits. So when we add that, strawberries and raspberries, mm-hmm. with the apples, it just gives kids option to have a good, clean snack.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you've made is little lollipops.
I just started making lollipops, and that was a lot of fun because it kind of happened quite by accident. As I was making an apple syrup, I let it go a bit longer, and I started to make these apple lollipops, mm-hmm. Sugar-free candy for kids, and they were really popular this season as well.
And is it just you boil down apple juice and then keep boiling it till it gets thick?
I reduce it and reduce it to just before it burns, basically. Uh-huh. And it caramelizes, and then it, at the right moment, which takes a lot of practice, mm-hmm. At the right moment, I take it out and it hardens. And once it's out, and I put it in little molds to make the pops. And yeah, it has been really popular. And I'm just really glad that I was able to do something like a candy, mm-hmm. That is sugar-free.
Well, it is a candy.
It's a candy, yeah. But it's totally sugar-free.
No added sugar. Right.
So that's been really popular as well at the markets this season.
Which markets do you attend?
I do the certified Santa Rosa market up at Wells Fargo, and we do, of course, the Sebastopol's Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm. And then do you distribute anywhere else, or just those two?
We don't, but we take orders at home by phone, and we deliver them at the farmers market, and especially for freshly pressed apple juice, because mm-hmm. we press on a Friday for the Saturday and Sunday markets. Uh-huh. And it's really fresh and vibrant.
Yes,
and we hand
it's
press.
It's delicious.
Yeah. So we hand press. We don't use anything electrical, and it's a lot of work, but I think the product is really good.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. It's a really, really good product. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm curious about, I know that there are good years for apples and not so good years for apples. Does it follow that there are good years for specific varieties and bad years for specific varieties, so that you could have a year where some of your varieties, it's a good year for them, and others not so good?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And the Gravenstein is really the one that you can have a good year or a not so good year. Mm-hmm. And that's really not in the flavor taste of the apple, but more in the amount of apples that you gather, or even the size of the apples. Mm-hmm. But the Gravenstein is the one that's we're always hit and miss on. Mm-hmm. The others then are, we have more of the other varieties than we do of the Gravenstein. Uh-huh. So that's the one that we're always watching, and because it just has an amazing flavor, the Gravenstein apple.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Best tasting apple there is. I forget what I was going to say. With the Gravenstein, oh gosh, it just flew out of my head like a little bird, but it will come back.
Okay.
When was the orchard planted? How old are your trees?
Well, some of them are some of them are at least, I'd say, 50 to 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And then others are more recent, in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And some of them are quite young. This year we hope to plant some more varieties of apples. And
Mm-hmm. And do you have to irrigate?
We don't. We dry farm.
You do dry. I thought you were mm-hmm. thinking you dry farm.
We dry farm because we found that it just has a very dense flavor, and also it just works with the apple. I find mm-hmm. that it's not a watery. It's not very watery, and the juice is, I think, much better than in the irrigated ones. You just have a more flavorful.
More flavorful. Yeah. I completely agree with you. More, mm-hmm. more concentrated flavor.
Exactly.
Okay, excellent. We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back on Mouthful.
Le soleil passe son bras par la fenêtre. Les chasseurs à ma porte comme les petits soldats qui veulent me prendre. Je ne veux pas travailler, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je fume. Déjà j'ai connu parfum de l'amour, un million de roses n'embaumerait pas autant. Maintenant une seule fleur dans mes entourages me rend malade. Je ne veux pas travailler, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je fume. Je ne suis pas magnifique, être sympathique, mais je ne le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je
There's nothing like pink martini. I think we need to go back to Spirit Works and talk about liquor a little bit. You brought a couple of things we should probably taste.
Yes. So I brought the gin because that's one of our staples, our core products, and some whiskey and slow gin. So let me pass these down.
Cute little cocktail glasses.
Yeah. So the gin,
nice shape.
Yeah, I just got these too. I love them. I feel like you get a lot more from the product in the tasting room with these. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is one of our core products. We do hand zested lemons and oranges, and coriander, cardamom, hibiscus, juniper. We have a British co-founder, an American co-founder, so this is like mid-Atlantic gin. It's okay. Not too dry, not too floral. Mm-hmm. It's just right. And I feel like the citrus in this is what complements the slow gin so well and mm-hmm. gives it a nice, bright flavor profile.
So, and what is this one called?
This is just the gin.
It's called gin. Yeah. Okay, gin. Not a proprietary name.
No.
When my daughter was here.
Ooh, that's very nice.
A couple summers ago, I think, we came down and tasted, and she bought, I think this is the gin she bought.
Yeah, this is one where, this one in slow gin, most people just walk in and they're like, I need another bottle. What else do you have? But I need that. So it works for us. We really like it.
Are they serving this at Mother's Ruin?
Yes, they are. Yes, so that we got in there pretty quickly as a neighbor. They actually have some of our Navy Strength gin, that seasonal that we did. Mm-hmm. It's this same gin. This is 86 proof. The Navy Strength is 114. At a higher alcohol percentage, I feel like it's a lot more dry juniper, mm-hmm. but it's people love it. It's a really good mm-hmm. gin. You don't go through it as quickly at that alcohol sure. percentage.
This is really lovely. Mm-hmm. It's really... The aromas are really interesting.
Yeah.
They don't say gin to me, mm-hmm. but that's okay. That's actually a good thing for me. I think I was around too much. I was around a lot of Tanqueray for a time, yeah. not drinking it, but smelling it.
Gin is, and that's what we get a lot of people who are more familiar with, like, you know, Tanquerays and Bombays, and then they get into craft gin or, you know, any other kind of gin, because it's mm-hmm. such a diverse spirit, and they find that they actually do like it. Uh-huh. So if you don't have one you like, keep trying. Because it's the only common denominator is juniper.
Right.
But they're also different to one another. I really love it.
This has really beautiful floral aromas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really pretty. And I think I can sense the cardamom in there.
Yes, I really like
that
one.
That's really pretty. How many spirits do you make altogether?
Oh, man. So our core lineup, what we always have, we have a vodka, a gin, a barrel gin. We do two whiskeys, a wheat and a rye, and then two slow gins. We have an unoaked and an oaked slow gin.
Oh.
So there's seven core products. Mm-hmm. And then every 3 months, I would say, we're pulling something new out. A lot of that is for our spirits club. So for those members, we like to have something that's a limited release for them for a couple weeks, and then we'll push it through the tasting room.
Oh.
So, you know, single malt or aquavit, things like that, where we're making it as a specialty bottle just for the tasting room. And then once the club is done, we'll sell it, the rest of it in the space.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But it's nice. Even for people outside of the club that come in, it's mm-hmm. refreshing. So even if you've been there a couple months ago, we have something new for you.
Oh, cool.
And like we do the cocktail flights now, so you can come in and taste a couple
spirits and
grab
cocktails.
A cocktail. Yeah. We can only use our spirits, so there's a lot of legislation around that we want to make sure that we are doing things correctly. But
so
we get really creative with the mixers.
But you can only do... You can't do other brands.
No.
Only the brands
just Spirit
you
Works.
Make yourself. Okay.
But that's where people like Monarch, Fedra makes these really lovely bitters and uh-huh. syrups. And so we'll highlight local producers too. That's another way for us to kind of highlight other businesses and bring mm-hmm. them in. And they have a lot of success in the tasting room. Once we put them in a cocktail, we move through a lot of the product.
Sure.
But it's nice because not everyone enjoys a spirit or appreciates it just straight up. You
right.
know, some people need a little bit
sure.
of a different
expression.
They need
expression. It diluted. They
yeah.
need
yeah.
some other
absolutely
elements in there.
Yes, yes. And then, so I have the whiskey if anybody wants to try
it. We definitely have
okay.
to try the whiskey.
All right. I don't know if we want to, we'll dump that. Or here, I have an extra one. You can use like a little mini dump bucket. Here we go. So the rye whiskey, our first whiskey, there you go, came out of the tasting room in, I believe it's November of 2015. Mm-hmm. Our first whiskeys were 2 years old. We had a lot of excitement about them, so we decided to harvest them. Now, this whiskey that you've got now is 4 years and 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we have stuff in the barrel room that's older than that. But the whiskey's been a really fun project because, you know, you had to sit and wait for it, and here it is. We're really proud to have a 4-year whiskey. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of different expressions of that. So we've done bottled and bond whiskeys in the tasting room, which have to be 4 years old. They're a little higher alcohol percentage. Mm-hmm. Cask strength whiskey is really popular for us. So just straight out of the barrel, whatever proof, you know, 118, 120 proof. Those are really fun to try as well.
Explain to me the difference
yeah.
between cask proof and then just something that's proof.
Yeah. So when you put a whiskey into a barrel, the biggest thing that affects it is the angel's share. So you have that evaporation that occurs, and that's somewhere between 5 and 6 gallons every 2 years. So you can lose quite a bit. You know, our first 4 year whiskey, we had quite a few gallons missing out of that, but that's just the evaporation. Mm-hmm. The nice thing that it does for it, if you put whiskey in a barrel at 110 proof, that could go up or down depending on your angel's share. Mm-hmm. So when you harvest the whiskeys, most of them for us, like this last one I think we did was 118 proof. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty high, but it allows you to go through the layers of flavor with water or mm-hmm. ice. Cask strength is fun. If you want to put it in a cocktail, you can use a little bit less. You're not using so much. Mm-hmm. But most of the time I recommend people either just have it on ice or just, you know, a little bit of cold water after every couple sips. Because it just shows you the full expression and range of flavor in the one bottle that you have. Same thing with our whiskeys. Our regular whiskey here, this is a 45%. So that's a little higher too. You have some room to put some ice in there or water, and you're not going to have it dilute or lose all your flavor right away.
Mm-hmm. So when for something that's not cask strength, it still comes out of the cask having lost the angel's share.
Uh-huh.
So how is it, how do you achieve your target strength?
Yeah, so a lot of that, you'll have a percentage. We want to go into the bottle at 45%. Mm-hmm. And so we have a system that you kind of plug all this information in, and it'll guesstimate how, you know, this is how much water.
There's no
guessing about it. Yeah, it'll tell you. Exactly. So you add water. That's another reason, you know, people, you don't want to just put tap water in there. And a lot of people argue you should use the water that it was distilled with to keep the palate the same. And that's not always possible. But just, you know, don't use tap water is my only suggestion.
Sure.
But that's all you're doing is you're watering it down. And it settles in the bottle, the water and the alcohol. Mm-hmm. But that's why putting ice or even water on that just disrupts where it settled and pulls up these new layers of flavor for you.
Yeah, I didn't know much about spirits, especially, say, single malts and whiskeys and that sort of thing. And then I got invited on a tour in Scotland. And the first place we went was Laphroaig. And it was really interesting the way that, I mean, you would taste it. And I actually liked Laphroaig quite a lot, possibly because they set it up and said, well, now, first of all, ladies, ladies don't really like Laphroaig, but don't worry. In the coming days, there will be things you like.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And they thought, the ladies were going to like Scapa, because we went up to Scapa way north. And I think Scapa is aged or whatever in sherry barrels.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I think to me, it was very sweet. And the thing I liked about Laphroaig was, first of all, it tasted like bacon and salt. And when you added just a little tiny bit of water, the way the flavors changed and blossomed was really fascinating.
Oh, yeah. It happened so quickly. In the tasting room, we'll give you little dropper bottles, like cold water, the same water we proof with, and just a couple drops at a time for you to taste it. There's some bars now that I've seen do that, like Beer Baron will serve you your whiskey neat with a little side of water to it. So spirits tasting and education is still relatively new. I know there's a lot of craft distilleries, but come visit us and we'll, you know, show you what we know. And go to all your local distilleries and kind of check it out, because everyone has their own idea of how to do things, and there's no wrong or right way.
Yeah.
And some Sloe Gin, I'll get this for you too.
Okay. This is a lovely whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
I really, really like it.
Yeah, we do the main styles, the rye and the wheat, but our head distiller, Lauren Patz, really enjoys playing around with different grains. We've worked with Triticale from Front Porch Farms, since that's local. She's got some single malts back there that we're looking at. There's bourbon aging. Any kind of ancient grain, if you give it to her, we'll probably turn it into something.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. And so this is our Sloe Gin. We just take that base of gin and macerate sloe berries on it that we get from Bulgaria. So sourcing the fruit is hard, but we get that done. And then we you're trying to complement the gin and the sloes with the sugar. So it is a liqueur, so you have to add sugar. Mm-hmm. These are traditionally aperitifs, so you're just going to drink it neat. But a lot of people, with mixology, mixing Sloe Gin is a really fun thing for people because it's bright and fruit forward. But I love it. I think the citrus and the gin complements that tart, plummy fruit, and then the sugar just brings it all together.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite pretty.
Yes.
It's nothing like the syrupy stuff we drank in college.
And it's funny. It's definitely not. I get a lot of that in the tasting room. Another thing is, I can pour this for a lot of people. I mean, it's our number one seller across the board. Mm-hmm. And I'll, it's a 50-50. You know, some people love it right away. Some people don't. But every time we put it in a cocktail, it's very popular.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, try it again. Mix it with some seltzer water or something. But it's a nice flavor.
And I think this would do really well with just a little twist of lemon zest.
Yeah, always.
That would go really beautifully with the sweetness.
Yeah, it's my go-to for cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving, too. I put some in there with the orange.
Oh, yeah.
It's very complimentary.
Uh-huh. What sort of bitters might you add combined with this?
Yeah, so one of the cocktails that we really liked was a cider cocktail with the sloe gin, and then Monarch Bitters smoked salt and pepper was really good.
So, but it's like cider cocktail is about that.
Yeah. Cocktail. Oh, yeah. So what was in there? We did her cider, or a cider from Whole Foods, I think it was, really simple. Sloe gin and Monarch Bitters smoked salt and pepper bitters, and that smoked salt with the sweet cider was really nice.
Yeah.
So it was like the sweet and savory mixed together really well. Just if you're doing like sloe gin spritzers, anything citrus forward, because that is in the base, the gin. So we do, there's a brand called Golden Bear that does a Big Sur citrus bitters that's really lovely. And anything like, you know, orange or like lemon is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Bit grapefruit bitters. Actually, I think I've had grapefruit bitters once and they were really good too.
Oh, nice. I feel like there's bitters for everything.
Yeah,
like there's every different
celery
flavor.
Bitters.
Those are the Bloody Mary go-to. Those are great.
And I'm waiting for somebody. If somebody has an absinthe bitters.
I haven't, but not I don't commercial. Think I've heard of that.
It's not commercial.
Not
He's
okay.
just making it
nice.
At home.
So you got to have you connections.
Are you guys going to? I haven't tasted it.
Oh, okay.
But I know who's making it. Are you going to make absinthe?
I don't think we have any plans to. Okay. With absinthe, you definitely need another still, just because those flavors really kind of permeate themselves into the copper.
Yeah.
We're really focused on our line right now and a few other fun things we have in the works. There is a local distiller that's producing absinthe.
Now, who's that?
That's Young and Yonder in Healdsburg.
Oh, Young and Yonder?
Yeah. They just moved in over there from, I think it was Cloverdale.
You can
I hope I'm not misspeaking.
You can expect them to be on Mouthful.
Yeah.
Fan of absinthe.
Bring them in. Their absinthe is lovely. So we have that to drink on. So we're not in any hurry to produce something like that.
Sure.
But it's always fascinating.
Good to know there's somebody local.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, there's St. George.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I'm not going to think of their name right now, up on Spring Mountain. They made a really nice, a number of years ago. I can see the bottles. They make whiskey. They make a number of things. And they made a pastis, I guess it was. Yeah, they were making pastis and they did an absinthe. But it's been quite a number of years, probably about 15 years ago, and I'm not
really
sure if they're still doing it.
Yeah, that's a fun spirit. And especially, if you go into the tasting room and you hear about it, it's even more fun. But I'm
will
sure
definitely be checking them out.
Sure, if Lauren wanted to do one, it would be delicious, but we'll see. She's into trying maybe another round of aquavit this year, which is more of a savory style. It's got the caraway chipotle notes to it. And then a lot of fun different, you know, barrel programs like the single malt and things like that.
There's a man who lives outside of Healdsburg. I won't say his name yet. he makes liqueurs.
Oh, nice.
He has been experimenting with them, I think, for a pretty long time. He makes extraordinary absinthe. Truly extraordinary. It might be the best absinthe I've ever tasted.
That's a compliment right there.
Yeah, because I bought every brand I could find when it first became legal, and I'd already brought some back from Germany before it was legal here. And then years before that, somebody had brought me some from Japan. And this one from the man in Healdsburg, I need to talk to him because I'm out of it. it's really good. And he thinks at some point he may try to go commercial.
Yeah.
Rather than just making it
hard.
As a hobby.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard, especially in any business when you start your own business, making sure that it's not just a hobby.
Exactly.
That you can support yourself.
Exactly. One thing you mentioned when you were telling me your lineup, you said single malt.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you make single malt here.
So single malt, another thing that our head distiller loves, there's no real definition on it yet. There are people that are kind of gunning up to have like a definition on it.
Okay.
I might misspeak, but I'm hoping not. But I'm, as far as I know, it's just made in one facility. That's one of the main restrictions on it. So we've done a few different things. We've done different, you know, chocolate malts or Golden Promise, and some of them are just that one malt. There's mm-hmm. some that are blended, so you can have more than one in there and still define it as a single malt.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I had thought single malt meant not blended.
So that's what I thought too. And but again, maybe I could be wrong.
Maybe that's Scotland.
Yeah, and maybe it could be that it's they were put together in the mash bill and then barreled, you know, and it wasn't uh-huh. blended afterwards. But I remember her complaining about it because there's no real definition of it, you know, and so it's like, how do I do this? And so we've tried a few different things, mm-hmm. but we're always paying attention to, because there's groups of people that get passionate about one spirit and them kind of gunning for like legislation to say, this is what a single malt is. So we're always just pay attention to that. And then if we see one group that's really passionate about it, we'll kind of steer and start making it to those definitions. But for now, we've done a few different things and kind of played around with it. Uh-huh. And I'm hoping to have one in December of this mm-hmm. year in the taste room.
And how long does it take to, from the time you start it to you release it, how long does it take to make a single malt?
Well, we don't want to pull anything out of barrel until it hits at least 4 years of age now, just because a lot of our whiskeys have gotten to that point. Uh-huh. The nice thing is with our bourbon and single malt, we have whiskey to drink while we wait, so it doesn't
right.
seem like it's
so long.
So
you can wait.
But that was the stipulation. So we have single malt, but we wanted to pull it after it's 4 years, mm-hmm. so that would be this year. So uh-huh. for us right now, we're just looking for certain age requirements on some of our product before we release it,
sure.
just keeping in line with the whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And then tell us about your vodka.
Vodka, our vodka is really fun. We have two of them in the tasting room right now. One of them, the wheat vodka, is the base for the gin that you had. So we mill mash and ferment everything from grain. And because we do a single distillation on our vodka, which means we're just doing one run to achieve that 95% alcohol by volume, because that's that definition of vodka. It's just neutral grain. Once we do that and we proof it down, add the water, mm-hmm. it retains a lot of the flavor. So our wheat vodka is this really lovely, like caramel vanilla notes to it. And the rye that we did as a, kind of a way to see how it would play with the aquavit is a little nuttier, spicier. I heard Lauren define it as kind of like a horchata in some ways. It's got more warmth to it.
Uh-huh.
I love the flavor from them. It's different uh-huh. for people, but most of the time, because, you know, if you take that vodka and water it down and redistill it and do that again and again, each time the water pulls through and kind of neutralizes what you're tasting. Mm. And we prefer to keep the full flavor there. So mm-hmm. there's two right now. The rye vodka is actually almost sold out. So we're hoping to bring it back if we do aquavit, just to taste them side by side.
Interesting. Now, where do potatoes fit into vodka? Because you hear sometimes you'll even see mm-hmm. like true potato vodka. So what's the deal on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people are making vodka with what's in abundance. So vodka can be made out of anything. It's more of that process definition of achieving that 95%.
Okay.
But, you know, we've kind of experimented with different things. I mean, we prefer to use our wheat, but there's people who use potatoes still. It's just a matter of, mm-hmm. you know, I would say, you know, you have your farm, you farm it, and then you're going to distill it into a vodka. But you can use anything. I just feel like grain is in such abundance in California that mm-hmm. that's what's being used primarily.
Sure.
But yeah, vodka, potato vodka, I mean, even this World War II thing, just digging whatever you had out of the ground and making alcohol out of it.
Exactly.
But it'd be interesting to kind of to see, you know, different styles of vodka mm-hmm. out in the market. And I wouldn't be surprised if you would see it, because I feel like craft distillation is just a big thing right now.
Huge.
And there's so many people starting labels, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see someone go back to that.
Interesting. Okay, how about some more music, Anthony? Cocktail music. Thank you. Ah, makes me want another cocktail. That was Combustible Edison, right? Yes, it was. Saw them open for Brian Ferry a number of years ago. They were really, really good. Had never heard of them. So contract distilling.
Yes.
You make liquor. You make distilled spirits for other...
Yes. Yes. Okay. So it's up on our website if there's people out there in the world that are interested in mm-hmm. starting their own label. But I find a lot of us little guys, little craft distillers, it's a mm-hmm. great way to keep the still on and help people. You know, we've built so much knowledge. We have such a strong foundation because we were one of the first craft distillers, too. And mm-hmm. a lot of us have gone through a lot to get to where we are. Mm-hmm. So that in itself, you know, it's invaluable. But yeah. Craft alcohol is something everybody wants to have, and they don't necessarily want to wait to build it out. So,
yeah,
craft distillation
can't be cheap
a lot
to build
that.
a distillery.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, and it's a time consuming process, mm-hmm. and so contract distillation you'll see a lot of that out there and a lot of our websites and mm-hmm. things because people are interested in it.
When you do a contract distillation, do you also put it in barrel and age it in your facility, or do they pick it up and age it somewhere else?
So there's a lot that we'll do depending on the brand. So some people want us to do everything, you know, from start to finish, minus the sales aspect. That's mm-hmm. we stay out of that part of it. But everybody's got different things they want to do with the gin. There's no barrel aging, so maybe they just want us to make it, produce it, you know, put it in a bottle and send it out the door. With whiskey and things, we could store different products.
You can't. You do have room to age.
Yeah, it's pretty limited, though, because we've got a lot of our own barrels. So most people just want it now. You know, they're going to take it and do what they want with it, but mm-hmm. To get their brand kind of moving along. So mm-hmm. storage isn't something we've seen a lot of. I would say recipe and development is a big thing for us, too. You know, Lauren, our head distiller, her palate and knowledge is priceless. And so having someone like that help you kind of hone in on what it is you're looking for is, mm-hmm. is really helpful.
How long does it take to make... a batch, whatever. I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah. So my favorite way to say it is that since we're grain to glass, we can get to vodka in 6 days. And then on the seventh day was gin. So it takes us about a week. It doesn't take that long.
Really?
I mean, if we're using different like neutral grain spirit, you can just crank out product and there's nothing wrong with that either. But we mm-hmm. love the grain and the identity that it gives the brand. Like I feel like that taste is in most of our spirits. So mm-hmm. For us, vodka 6 days, gin 7 days, whiskey, you know, 6 days as well, but you're waiting on the barrel aging. So we're talking 2-3 years. And now mm-hmm. with our new minimum, 4 years, minimum. Yeah. So a couple days mm-hmm. and everyone's different, you know, as far as their product and how we make it. So.
Sure. And what about slow gin?
Slow gin is, that's about the maceration of the fruit onto the gin. Uh-huh. So that can take, you know, it's hard to tell. Each batch is different. So we just say as long as it takes.
Okay.
As long as it takes to pull the color, the flavor through, and then we'll pull that juice and then press the berries and then add the sugar to mm-hmm. it.
And then let's talk a little bit about the slowberry. Mm-hmm. Do they even grow?
No. So it's an invasive species. Okay. I've heard people talk about Oregon and New York, uh-huh. you know, little pieces, but no, nothing that we have around here. And it's Prunus spinosa is its... Latin name, but it's like plummy, tart. They look like little blueberries. They're really mm-hmm. interesting to taste because you'll have one and it's kind of sweet and the next one's a lot tarter mm-hmm. than the first one. And they're a really different kind of fruit, but they mm-hmm. grow on a blackthorn bush. And we have them picked and sent out to us from Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm. Do they come dried?
Yeah, so they're frozen. So they pick them fresh. Okay. And I'm assuming like kind of a flash freeze situation uh-huh. and send them on out. But they defrost really beautifully, and then that juice, you know, kind of goes into the gin right away. And so we'll stir it, you know, twice a day, one in the morning, one at night, and then just let it be for most of that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun fruit to work with, very different.
Interesting. Sometime I have to come and see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the fruits I've never seen.
Yeah, we love having people in to help us with the slow gin. It's a hands-on
hands-on
day.
Cool. We will have, maybe we can make a story out of that.
All right.
I want to go back to Eliza now. I wanted to talk about making apple cider vinegar. I have a lot of people ask me how to do it because that maybe they have 2 or 3 apple trees.
Right.
Do you take it to apple juice first and then
inoculate it? We press the apples and we have apple juice, and then we close it for it to ferment into apple cider.
Okay.
And it makes pretty good apple cider, mm-hmm. mostly. And then we open it so that it turns to cider. And at this point, because I've been doing it a number of years, I have my own mother, mm-hmm. Which I add to the apple cider, the hard mm-hmm. cider. And that just, we leave it in kind of warm conditions. Mm-hmm. And then it just... does its own work itself.
This is something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, what's nice about it is then when we bottle it, we don't filter it or mm-hmm. anything. So everybody kind of gets a bit of the mother.
Yes.
Which is always what everyone needs.
Yes, absolutely. It's so good, yours. It is. Uh-huh. It is so.
I have a little bit here if you'd like to taste.
Oh, you do? Oh, good. Oh, definitely, Amanda. You have to try this.
This is the Rubenstein.
It's such a refreshing drink, especially on a hot day. Ice water or ice sparkling water.
Thank you.
And a really generous splash of apple cider vinegar.
Uh-huh.
It's a really refreshing drink on a hot day. And some people, you know, some people like to have a shot of apple cider vinegar every morning.
Yes.
That's gotten really popular in the last
really
couple of years.
Popular. Well, because I have so much of it, I actually... put it in all of my cooking, and I cook a lot. So I find that adding it to everything, it just brings out the flavors. Especially
it's like adding a spritz of lemon.
Exactly.
That acid.
Exactly.
It's really nice.
And it brings out the flavors in, I mean, for me, especially in soups and stews, mm-hmm. I kind of notice when it's not, when I don't add it.
Uh-huh.
I also started adding a little splash to my candy. When mm-hmm. I make the candy, I'm just doing that because I think it's good for everyone.
Sometime you should make, I have a recipe for it, vinegar taffy.
Mm.
I haven't made it in a long time.
Oh,
but
okay.
But when I was writing the first edition of my book, Oil and Vinegar, I made several types of vinegar taffy. I used blueberry vinegar, raspberry. I used several different kinds. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Pulling taffy is just so fun.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't made any with boutique apple cider vinegar, so I'm going to have to maybe do that this winter. It's really delicious.
Yeah, I'd love to get that recipe.
Oh,
yeah.
happy to get that to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing about this vinegar is... because prior to this, I was buying, you know, just store-bought vinegar. And so I went back because, you know, when you make things, you think it's great. And then when I went back and I bought some store vinegar, I just realized that I think it must be in the age somehow of the vinegar, but it just tastes different to me.
Oh, yeah, it tastes very different.
And so that, and our, I guess, what we try to do is to give people clean food. And this seems to be, I don't know, it just seems refreshing and clean, I mean, for me.
It has another, in addition to being refreshing and clean.
And it also makes you cough.
We probably need to play some music, because I can't talk for a couple of minutes.
Una notte a Napoli, con la luna in mare, ho incontrato un angelo che non poteva più volare. Una notte a Napoli, delle stelle si scordò, e anche senza ali il cielo mi portò. Lui volando lontano dalla terra, dimenticando le tristezze della sera, in paradiso oltre le nuvole, pazza d'amore come le lucciole. Tempo.
dolcezze infinite. Quando ami da morire, chiudi gli occhi e non pensare, il tempo passa, l'amore scompare.
We're back. I can talk again. I forget what... Oh, I know what I was starting to say about your vinegar. It has two dimensions. And I buy really good apple cider vinegar that's made locally, but not really boutique, made in larger quantities. But what this has a spicy element that is both in the aroma but also on the palate.
Uh-huh.
It's got this really complex spiciness. And right under that spiciness is apple.
Right.
And it's just beautiful. And that's almost the longer it lingers in your palate, the finish, it's almost like you just had a bite of apple pie.
Uh-huh.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well with the different vinegars. You may or, you know, the lingering taste is different.
Absolutely.
With the different varieties of apples.
Yes.
With the different vinegars. Yeah. The different varieties.
Yeah. Well, this is really, really gorgeous. And what I haven't done, have a sauce that I make using apple juice and apple cider vinegar. And I haven't made it with yours yet, but I think I'm going to see how it's different. It's really simple. I never measure anything unless I'm writing a book. So I pour in, let's just say I pour in 3/4 cup of apple juice, and I boil that down. I simmer that until it's reduced by about half. And then I add 1/2 cup of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And I throw in some black peppercorns.
Oh.
And I simmer that down to where it's, again, reduced by about half. And I do it by, a lot of it is just I taste. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, okay, there's the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I strain it, and I swirl in some butter.
Oh.
And that's it. And I developed it initially to pair with some foie gras.
Uh-huh.
I was having a very special dinner, and it was a wake for my cat, Matilda. And
I totally understand that.
Yes. And I had some very nice foie gras from Sonoma Foie Gras before they were gone, and just seared rare. And then I served it on top of sliced sautéed apples, and then put the sauce on it. And it was so good. But I have since put the sauce on grilled chicken.
Oh, okay.
And on grilled quail. And it's fabulous. It's just really, really good. And it's going to be even better when I make it with your apple cider vinegar. It's going to have a lot more depth to it.
Well, I'm going to try that recipe, too.
Yeah, if you want me to send it with the quantities, I will send it to you.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'll do what you do. Sweet spot.
Yeah, you just look for that sweet spot, uh-huh. And there you go.
Uh-huh.
But here we're telling... Oh, and you've got some things that you haven't shown us yet.
I brought some apple rings.
Okay.
If you'd like to taste them.
I would love one.
We dry our apple rings until they're crispy.
These are really good.
Yeah. So they're nice and crispy as opposed to them being
soft and chewy.
Soft and chewy.
Interesting.
And but you can make them soft and chewy if you don't...
take them that far.
Put something damp in there, like kitchen paper or something, and then you can moisten them up a little
bit.
I prefer
this way. This is
they're
nice.
They're nice chips.
This is really good.
Chips. Mm-hmm. And,
with a little glass of sloe gin, it's perfect.
So the quantity then is, it's lighter, so you can get actually more for your money when they're more dried and they're lighter, and you sell them by the ounce.
Yes.
And it's difficult being a small farmer and trying to balance between giving an affordable price for people and just making some money on the back.
Making some money.
but that's something that we're very conscious of as well. So... But this is a good chip. And
they're good.
So now we're telling people all these great things about what you do, but it's the end of your season.
Well, on a lot of stuff we have sold out, but we may, because we have a lot of people looking for the vinegar, mm-hmm. We may pop up at one of the farmers, well, probably Sebastopol, and just do once a month or every other month
oh,
a table just to give people what they've been
asking
what they
for. Looking for.
Yeah.
And then does your season start up in... July or in August?
Our season starts in August with the Gravensteins, mm-hmm. but we keep the Gravensteins. We don't go to the market with them because we make the products.
Right.
Because people really like the Gravenstein apple and they like to have it dried. Because it goes very quickly, mm-hmm. the Gravenstein apple season's very short.
It's so short.
They like to have the products after, especially the vinegars and the juice.
Yeah.
And, So we start up the end of August, the beginning of September. And because mm-hmm. we're a small farmer and mm-hmm. it's just my husband and I, we don't do the Gravenstein apple fair because mm-hmm. it's too big for
us. It's too big, yes, absolutely.
So we first appear at the farmers markets. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, we are almost out of time, so we're going to do a quick wrap up here. You're a member of Farm Trails?
I'm not actually a member of Farm Trails.
Oh, I thought you were.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Do you have a website?
Because
it's just because
it's my husband and myself and it's
okay.
really time consuming any of that stuff. But I can give a phone number for anybody who would like to call and see if we have the products that they like. And that's 707-829-1524.
Okay, that's 707-829-1524.
Nice. Save that on speed dial for these apple rings.
Those are great. Really good.
And I do have a Facebook page, which I hope to resurrect.
There are only so many hours in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to go back to what we opened the show with, on January 18th, mm-hmm. there will be a class at Spirit Works from 6 to 7:30. It features Phaedra Acre
yep.
of Monarch Bitters, hands-on class, $50. Is it spiritworks.com or Spiritworks Distillery?
Spiritworksdistillery.com. And then the Instagram where the tickets are is Spiritworks Distillery. And if you miss this one, don't worry. We're going to be doing a lot more of this, so just keep an eye out.
Excellent. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
It's Amanda Graziano,
mm-hmm.
Customer Relations, and people can get in touch with you just by calling.
Yeah, give
Spirit
us a
Works.
Call.
Okay. And Eliza Dean, Dean Family Farm, thank you so
thank
much
you, Michelle,
for coming on the show. You did absolutely great. I really appreciate it. I know you were nervous, which is why I said that you were a fabulous guest. So, and you were a fabulous listener. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond. Take care of yourself. Take care of your loved ones and have a great week.